take as little as 3 minutes to see if you could save on motorcycle insurance with Progressive. Come on, you've spent more time than that thinking about helmets with faces on them.
I should get a new helmet. Ooh, maybe I'll get one of those ones that looks like a face with painted teeth and eyebrows, you know? Oh, that always looks so cool. People are like, whoa, is that a person with two faces? Oh, no, it's a helmet. And one face.
Get a quote in as little as 3 minutes at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this July 10th, Monday, 2023. And tonight, today, well, first of all, we've got on the board are number one, well, straw boss tonight, none other than Derek. Say hello, Derek.
Howdy.
All right, there you go. And you did that very well.
He's a strong, silent type.
Yeah, I know. And then way out yonder there in Missouri, you just heard him, none other than Pastor Joe Larson, the country parson.
Yeah, the infamous one. Anyway, welcome. I'm glad to be here.
And so, and I'm your host, Pastor Ernie Sanders, and glad to say I'm both Derek and Pastor Joe's hero. And it's a lot of responsibility there. All right. So tonight we got a whole lot to do, but before we get going, I wanted to just say today I preached twice. I preached Pastor Fred Haig, my long, long, long time friend and associate pastor over the many years, both the morning service and then the graveside service over at the Veterans Memorial Cemetery. And Pastor Fred was, well, he was an activist. He was should I say not only just a longtime friend, but associate pastor, but he was a very, very ardent pro-lifer. Very ardent pro-lifer. He was out there in the streets many years. He was a longtime death row pastor. We went to death row for many decades together, and longtime church. When around the church, whenever anything needed to be done, Pastor Fred never, you know, he just jumped in and did it. And so he was a dear friend, a real hero of the faith. And I want to say our most sincere condolences to his wife and family and all of the many, many, many friends that showed up today as to pay their respects. And I just want to say, old friend, we miss you. And We'll be seeing you someday, probably pretty soon, the way things are going. So there you go. That's it. And
well, I want to add something to that. As a pastor, one of the hardest things to do is to preach a sermon for a dear friend, someone you love. It's very, very hard, and just my prayers with you for, you know, comfort to you too, because it's quite a loss. It's somebody like that is almost like losing a part of you when you've worked with somebody that long.
Yeah, you know, when you get used to doing things, Pastor Fred would always, you know, as we would start every service, we would start off with a praise to the Lord. We would sing one of the hymns, and then after the first hymn, Pastor Fred would always open us in prayer. And it was just not, you know, it's just, well, this week we just took
it. It's the same for a long, long time.
Yeah, we've done it as a tradition for a long time. And so, but that's what happens. It's, you know, it's not our call. That the moment of our departure is not up to us, is it? It's up to the Lord. I know a lot of times we think we're more control than we really are. And so
Some are lost and heaven's gain.
That's absolutely right. That's the Lord's call. Amen. Well, anyhow, we're going to get right into the message today. And the title of the message was, At Death
We Will Depart From Here to Eternity.
And
it sounds like a movie coming to your neighborhood soon.
You know, people hold a whole different variety of beliefs on what takes place at the moment of death. You know, I was laughing. I remember watching one of my favorite comedians were Laurel and Hardy. Those guys were my favorite comedians. And when one of the movies, Stan and Ollie had joined the French Foreign Legion. And,
yeah, right.
Do you remember that one?
Yeah, unfortunately, I do.
And they decided that they had gotten into something they didn't want, so they decided to desert. And they took off, and they got themselves a small airplane, like a Piper Club, and they took off, and they didn't know how to fly it, so they crashed it. And then the next thing you see, Stan walking down this country road. And remember, Oliver used to wear that little derby all the time.
Right.
And he looks over, and there's this big white horse. And it's got Oliver's derby on his head. And so Stan goes walking over there. Is that you, Ollie? Well, of course it is, Stanley. You know, and it reminds me. So a lot of people believe that actually, Joe, that we get recycled, we come back as either someone else or something else. And there's no evidence that that's ever happened with anybody, is there?
None. God made us all individuals, each and every one separate, unique, and I don't think he plays games. He's never has and never will.
And then you have all these movies and even these series, I guess they call them sitcom series, on the cable stations, where they have people that have died and they've become ghosts. You know, they've gone neither to heaven or hell. They're wandering around here on earth. They're ghosts now.
Right. They're haunting a castle or a, you know, building or something. Yeah.
And they can't get freed or whatever until they bring whoever it was that caused their death to justice in some of these. But again, there's absolutely no evidence of that happening. We know they're not ghosts. We know that all of those things that go, the Bible tells us, that go peep in the night, those are demonic spirits, aren't they?
That's a lot different from a ghost of a departed loved one. Yep.
Yeah. And so, and then there's others that believe that we simply cease to exist. The annihilation theory. You have complete doctrines that are built upon one or two verses out of the Bible, especially in Ezekiel 28, on the annihilation theory, that you die, you either go to heaven or you don't go to hell. What happens is you simply burn up and you simply cease to exist, and that's it. It's called the annihilation theory. But people are eternal beings, aren't we?
That's what God says.
So we never go out of existence.
You got to know.
So we don't go out of existence. We just change real estate.
Right, change location and form.
And so, but there's only one. There's just one. In all of the entire universe, there's only one absolute source of truth on what happens to us when we die. And that's right here in God's Word, the King James Bible, huh?
Exactly.
Let's start tonight in Hebrews chapter 9 and read verses 24 through 28.
For Christ is not entered into holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood offers, the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation.
Well, here, you know, it's an interesting thing. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but unto heaven itself to appear. Now, that's an interesting word here, because three different times the appearing of Christ is mentioned in this chapter, Joe. And guess what? That word appear there, three different Greek words. And so here we're going to see it in verse 26. As we read that, it speaks of the past appearing. He appeared to put away sin and the sacrifice. And then in verse 28, Joe, we see here Christ speaks of his future appearing. But if we go back to verse 27 here, chapter 7, verse 25, we read this: wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by seeing he liveth forever to intercession for them. So his appearance is to intercede, to make intercession for us forever. So it's three different words there for the word that we use appear. Now he goes to verse 25. We read this: nor yet that he should offer himself, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So today, are those people out there that keep Christ upon the cross?
Yeah, they sure try to.
Okay, so when we, in our churches, our cross is empty because he came down off that cross, didn't he?
Exactly. He was taken down off the cross, and he descended into hell, and he was raised from the dead and ascended into heaven.
So
he's not on the cross and never going back.
Are there those that, in mass, do they still offer up a sacrifice?
They still do, yes.
Okay, so did he not say he was sacrificed once and for all?
All, exactly. Once and for all, meaning once was sufficient. The most precious substance in the universe, the blood of the only Son of God, was shed for us. And it was sufficient for all time, for all men.
Okay. So he goes on to say, for then he must have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once at the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Okay, now, there are several places in Scripture where the Bible refers to in generalities. Example, Joe, the Bible says, you hear John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But that doesn't mean he loved every single person. That means that was a general, and generally speaking, it wasn't God's will that any would come short of the glory. But we know that God didn't love every single individual in this world, did he?
No, he didn't. That's a misconception. Oh, God loves everybody. That's not what Scripture says.
And so, in fact, in many places, God hates those whose hands are shed innocent blood. God hates those who are quick to run to violence. That he hates those that commit iniquity. In fact, over in Romans 9, he says, did not I say Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated?
Hated, yes. Hated.
All right, so now...
And God doesn't misspeak either, does he?
No, but then we are not to jump to conclusions or assumptions, are we, in this? Because I've heard, in reading that verse, I've heard people would immediately say, well, it looks like God sent him, Esau, to hell. It doesn't say that. Is God most merciful?
Yes, that's exactly what Scripture says. He is completely merciful.
Now, there's only one...
He hated things, but that doesn't mean Esau couldn't have repented. Because God made it clear that if we repent, God is quick to forgive.
So the only kind of people that can be saved are sinners, huh?
Exactly. I mean, the righteous do not need it. The health, the well do not need a physician, right?
Right. So we don't jump to conclusions or assume anything here now. But here we see this also where he says, as it is appointed once unto men to die, but after this a judgment. Now, there are exceptions to that, where it says once to die.
Enoch didn't. There's two that didn't die.
How about Elijah? How about Lazarus?
Elijah and Enoch did not die. They went directly to heaven, to God.
Yep. Well, now, when they're transformed, is that a form of death?
Well, it's the death of the body, but not of the soul.
Okay.
The body, in those cases, would have died, but they were transformed into heavenly beings.
So
you could say the body died, but the person certainly didn't.
So they were transformed without tasting death as we know it.
Right. They didn't suffer it.
Well, now, how many times did Lazarus die?
Twice.
What about all of those folks when the Lord Jesus said, it is finished, and the ground shook, and the sky became black, and the graves were opened, and all those people came up out of the graves and walked amongst the people, but later on, they died again, didn't they?
You know, Scripture doesn't really say that is the assumption, because Scripture doesn't say they live forever, so they must have died.
Well, no, it does, in the sense that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom
of heaven, so they would have had to die to go back to be with the Lord.
I was getting ready to say that. Yeah, so they would have had to die the second time. Okay, so but that's a general, that's in, speaking in generalities. So we have
you
to realize
to infer that one, because these were people that God brought to life, that they would have had to go back to the grave.
And you have a case with the young girl and Peter, and with Elijah and the widow's son.
Son, right.
Okay, now what about...
dead.
So Christ was offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now, that's a very
We are to be watching, right? Watching and waiting for his coming again. We are to be prepared for that.
Okay. Now, do we know people that are believers born-again believers, they're professing believers, but they don't believe in the rapture of the church. They believe maybe, or they'll believe in a mid- or post-trib rapture. But, and they write articles, and they tell you in the articles, don't be looking for the church to be raptured, even though I think, you know, in my opinion, and I think it's a pretty good one, I think the Bible speaks really clearly on the rapture of the church. But
I agree with you. I can. To me, it's obvious that we're going to be taken up to meet the Lord in the air.
So now there are people that are saying, well, those people that are not looking, even if they're saved, if they're not looking, by the way, that word in the Greek means expecting. Those are expecting,
right? Yeah.
But there are those that believe if they're not expecting, if they're not looking for the Lord's return, then they're going to have to, that they'll be left here during the tribulation period because of their unbelief. What do you think?
That sounds like what he's saying. Those that do not believe will find out the hard way.
Well, that's what people believe, but I don't think that can happen because God is he's the same today, tomorrow, forever. And I think those that are saved, it's not their call. I think the people that are going to...
Once saved, always saved, but, yeah.
So I think they're going to be in for not a rude awakening, but a very, very pleasant awakening. And now I got some good friends that feel that way when the rapture takes place.
Is it theoretically possible that the Lord could wait till they die a physical death of the body and then they're resurrected?
I mean, everything's possible with the Lord. I'm talking about when the rapture takes place. If they're saved, they're going. If they're saved, they're going to heaven, okay? And actually, they're going to be, for a period, they'll be considered to be naked. Did you know that?
No.
I didn't
remember it.
Well, we'll get to that part as we go through here, I'll clarify it. Well, a lot of people wonder. Let's see what God's Word, the Bible, has to say as we go through there.
If you want to know, you've got to tune in tomorrow, right?
Absolutely. And so, meantime, do you know, we're coming up to a break here in a minute, but I don't know if Derek has got that break. Do you, Derek, do you have the song that we're to play? Okay, very good. I just wanted to make sure. Okay, because I didn't remember. But anyhow, I'm going to stop right there, and we're going to pick it up in 1 John 5 tomorrow, verses 6 to 13. I think we're going to have to get a wiggle on this too, Joe, because we have a lot of verses.
A lot of them, yes.
To get done this week. And so we're going to have to be a little quicker tomorrow, huh? But we did give kind of a real thorough study, didn't we?
Very, very thorough and very enlightening.
All right, very good. I bet we'll find out. Hey, Derek, were you enlightened at all? No, he's not.
I was on the phone with the guest.
Oh, okay.
I was very enlightened, by the way.
Oh, there you go. He was very enlightened. There
you
go.
Just see it illuminating behind me.
All right.
Telling the secret is to just smile and put your thumb up in the air, and you'll be all right.
we're going to be back right after this with a pretty woman, and that's Sarah McGreevy. She's going to be with us, Sarah, from Northeast Ohio, right to life. We'll be back right after this.
These colors don't run.
Old Obama wants to take away our guns.
Hitler, Germany, Stalin, Russia, Mao, China.
All our freedoms they want to take away.
Better pack a lunch, pal.
So bring it on.
Let's get it done the American way.
Freedoms plus our American patriots paid.
They paid the price in full.
Freedoms plus their blood they did trade.
It was their shed blood that was traded for our freedom.
I'd rather be dead than live a communist slave.
I'd rather be dead than red.
If we're to live free, then we must live brave.
We must live brave. We must live brave. And they never will.
Freedom's calling on America's patriot sons.
Of which I am one.
Khrushchev said they would conquer us from within.
The public school system, the media, the university.
We will stand.
We will fight. We'll never give in. We will never, never give in.
In Jesus' name,
it's not over until we win.
Wow, Joe, you know what? I forgot all about that song. I forgot. We haven't played that song probably in 10 years. What do you think, Derek? Boy.
It's one of the ones I know all the words to from working here so long.
Long time.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, red, white, and yes. All righty. Well, we have a guest tonight, a special guest, Sarah McGreevy. Hey, Sarah.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing all right. How are you?
I am great. I'm doing just fine on this gorgeous July evening.
Welcome
aboard.
Okay,
thank you. I'm sorry I couldn't be there in person. I had to attend some matters involving this election on August 8th. Early voting starts tomorrow, by the way. So for those of you in the Ohio area, please make sure to vote early. There is only one item on the ballot. It is issue one. It is critically important to vote yes for it to help protect our Constitution from out-of-state special interest groups. So please do that tomorrow, if you can, through August 8th.
All right.
And,
let's tell them.
Tell your friends as well.
Tell them the reason why. This is, folks, let me tell you, this is very, very, very important. Okay, there's a film out there I went and watched the other day called The Sound of Freedom. And what that was about human trafficking. Here, I have an article right here. Guess what it says? This is out of the World News Daily. Whistleblower charges U.S. now a middleman in child trafficking. That means our government. Hey, Joe, what have we been telling people for 2 years here about the gatekeeper, about Joe Biden and his regime as being the gatekeeper under orders from communist China to keep the border open and keep the flow of innocent children coming into pedophile America? Have we been telling them? Have we been telling them?
More than just China. It's also some people in the U.S. that are involved in it because there's an awful lot of pedophilia going on. Has been. They just hide it, cover it up, and, you know, try and pretend it doesn't happen. But it's real, folks.
And, Sarah, these people that want to amend the Constitution, believe me, they are the same people. That you've got George Soros' money. You've got dirty, dirty, dark money coming in, and if they get that so-called women's, well, what are they called?
Reproductive Rights Amendment. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're working hard on this because one of the effects of this issue one, should it be voted for and passed, is that it would immediately be put in place, put into effect. The moment it passes, God willing, it would be in effect immediately. And this is good news for the pro-lifers out there and other conservative groups. This has been endorsed by the NRA, NFIB, Ohio Chamber of Commerce, Farm Bureau, as of this morning, the Ohio Agribusiness Group, various organizations that you can look up at VoteYesOhio.com has all the endorsements. And again, it will go into effect immediately if passed on August 8th. And this would, once it goes into effect, would also help to defeat the November amendment that they're trying to put on the ballot. They also, as of July 5th, so this past Wednesday, they did submit the 710,131 signatures that they collected, which are currently under review by the local county boards of elections and volunteers who are just double-checking things to make sure that no stone goes unturned. And they're doing that till July 20th. So at July 20th, they will have to have done everything, verified everything, and then July 25th, Secretary of State Frank LaRose will confirm whether or not they did, in fact, get all the signatures and whether or not they go on the ballot. So what the August 8th election will do, one side effect of it will be that if it does pass, then the 60% threshold will immediately go into effect. And if the November issue is on the ballot, and if it receives less than 60%, then life will win. If it does not receive, if it receives more than that, then it's bad. But if we can win on August 8th, we have a better chance of really protecting preborn life and women's health and families in Ohio in November. Because this group, I saw the movie Sound of Freedom the other day. Great movie. It is doing wonderful at the box office. That movie, I mean, if the November Amendment passes, it will enable more sex traffickers. It will enable abusers to get away with their crimes because those people can then coerce the girls into having abortions. They can give them contraception. They can give them all this stuff, Plan B, RU-46, without the parents knowing about it at all. And they, because, you know, that Daniel Glenn and, who had the abortion in Indiana, her mother was using her to pay rent. She was letting her, she was giving her to the boyfriend to sleep with her, have sex with her, rape her, and that was paying for the rent. So that could happen to anyone else. There's, I mean, as you saw in the movie, that could literally happen to anyone. And that will be enabled if we lose in August, and if we also cannot keep them off the ballot, if we cannot destroy them in November, that will continue to happen. So we got from tomorrow morning through August 8th to really keep radical agendas off of the ballot and really keep them out of the Constitution. We've got to protect our children, our women, our families. This is so vital. We must stop this. We must vote tomorrow through August 8th to protect families, protect children, protect the future of Ohio.
Well, and we also have to remind them, Sarah, that that would neutralize, would take away all parental rights, all parental rights.
If we lose in August, which we cannot do, then if they get their 50% plus one vote in November, it would nullify all the law, all the current laws in the Ohio Revised Code that protect parents' rights, parental consent laws, informed consent, the 24-hour waiting period, the judicial bypass law. It would nullify all of those things along with the laws that protect children with disabilities. So it would throw all those out the window because the Constitution is above the Ohio Revised Code. If this won in November, that would erase 50, that would nullify 50 laws currently in the Ohio Revised Code. We cannot let that happen. We have to fight that. We have got to win in August so we can defeat them in November.
All right, so here's what we need for folks to do out there. Obviously, vote. Today was the last day where you could register to vote for that election. But for the people out there that are registered, you must vote. Listen, I can tell you this. If you're able to vote and you don't vote, I'm ashamed of you. Look, freedom is not free. Our freedom was bought and paid for by the blood of good people, better people, those that went before us. And we owe it to them. But first, we owe it to Almighty God. The Bible says, be you doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. And he tells you from Genesis to Revelation that resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Failure to resist tyranny is disobedience. And believe me, folks, this legislation is tyranny. It's absolutely tyranny.
And yes, so, and one way, a few things to add to that, to really make sure that we do not sit on our butts and let this all slide through. There have been a few things in history that prove how important it is to tell your neighbors about what's happening. Knock on your neighbors' doors. Say, hey, there's this stuff coming up. There's votes coming up. We got to vote. Grassroots is how we're going to win this thing. We have got to get out and vote. This is a special election. People might go on vacation. They might forget to vote. We cannot let anyone forget. We are running low on yard signs, but we got a word of mouth going on. We got social media. We got emails. Use everything you can possibly think of to inform your neighbors and friends about this very important election, whether it's knocking on their door, calling them up, texting, emailing, writing a letter. I have seen postcards from Santa Clarita, California, to Ohio, telling folks to vote no. We can do better. We can walk out of our front door, walk 10 feet to our neighbor's door, knock on their door, say, hey, there's this election coming up. It's happening right now. I encourage you to vote yes, because this is too important. The grassroots can win as long as every single person who's hearing this show right now, who believes in conservative values, who believes in family values, and in pro-life laws, and 2A legislation, and really preserving values that are so important to us. If you walk outside, go next door, go around your neighborhood, have a bonfire, tell your friends about it. Every single thing you can think of to get the word out, use it. God gave you talents. God gave you people in your life for a reason. Let them know. Spread the message. Multiply the voice. We have got to get out there. We cannot let this slide by. We must all work together and use everything within our power to make this happen. We got to do it. We got to do it. We got to vote yes tomorrow through August 8th to win in August, to crush them in November.
Well, you're absolutely right. This is why, again, folks, this is extremely important, extremely important. Look, in the past, I want you to think about this. Had everybody been doing their job, and if all those people out there, especially professing Christians, have been doing their job, would we have Joe Biden in office today? Ask yourself this.
We wouldn't.
You know, and I know you hear that, Joe, you hear him say there's 65 million dead babies. It's twice that. Believe me, I know.
Right.
Because I've been from day one, I've been in this battle, and I've talked to a number of those that have come out of the baby-killing industry, and everyone will tell you it's common practice within the child-killing industry to only claim one out of every two babies you kill for taxes. So, and the IRS knows it. So,
I want to add something. Sarah, you made the comment about the letter from Santa Clara.
Yeah.
Democrats pay people to write letters, to do things. We don't pay our people to do the right thing. Also, when you said, the Democrats started this, vote early, but they also said vote often. We say vote early, but only vote once. That's the two big differences between two just right now that are clear. They cheat, we don't. They pay people to do things that people should do out of loyalty to God and country. And what you're reminding people is we have to run to the battle and fight this fight. Because the devil doesn't play by, Marcus Aquisbury rules. They cheat, lie, and steal, and we have to do things the right way, which is usually the hard way.
Yes. Founding fathers, we just had the 4th of July, right? Of the
right.
Signing members on the Declaration of Independence, they knew that signing that meant they could die. And many of them had very tragic endings. Many of them had families that were attacked. But they knew that if they didn't sign that piece of paper, if they didn't show what they were about, then the future of America would live under British rule and horrible tyranny, and they would not have liberty. They knew the cost, and they did this anyway. They were men of means. They were jurists. They were lawyers. And they knew, and they signed that piece of paper. We can, like, one box and vote yes. Sure, neighbors might get mad at us. Who cares? Sure, people might disagree with us. That's fine. We have truth on our side. The truth, as many people in history have said, truth will set us free, and hard work will get us much more. We have got to fight this out. We have got to make our voices heard. We cannot let Ohio become the next California. We cannot let that happen.
Amen.
Well, not only that, but Sarah and Joe, let me tell you, the other states are watching this, and this is, if they can get that done in Ohio, then it'll be like dominoes. But we could, if we stop them here now, and we can do that. But folks, you got to wake up. This is important. There's no time for slackers right now. Okay, no time for that. In the past, many have just said, "Well, somebody else will do it." Not now. You got to stand up. You got to run to the fight. Okay, you've got to be counted. You got to do your share this time, and you know, so many good people out there that have gone down. Let me ask you this. If look, and it starts in the pulpit, it starts in the churches. You know, every pastor, if he's a man of God, he would be in that pulpit telling people to go out there and make sure they vote yes for issue one, because, again, of what it stands for. That's tyranny. And if he doesn't do that, then I don't think he's much of a man, to tell you the truth at all.
And, what's the actual title for issue one?
Issue one is to amend the Constitution. What is it? What's the actual title?
You can get the full ballot language and title at voteyesohio.com, along with volunteering and requesting yard signs and donating to the cause. So all the ballot language is at VoteYesOhio.com. The group is called Protect Our Constitution. So all of the language, the title, everything is right there. Very simple. VoteYesOhio.com. You can go on there right now, share with friends. Also, you can go to Center for Christian Virtue's website to pledge to vote. And they will, once you pledge to vote, they will send out emails just to remind you about voting. So to go there, go to ccv.org/pledge. That's ccv.org/pledge. And then when you scroll past that top part where it's the pledge to vote, there's also resources that are PDFs that you can print out to pass around to your neighbors. You can put in their door. You can knock on the door, give it to them. You can put it in an envelope, mail to them. You can also hand your pastor a guide to what they're allowed to do. And honestly, pastors as individuals have a lot of freedom to talk about politics. They are plenty able to do that, especially with an issue, not a candidate. And I have been pleasantly surprised with the amount of pastors who have been endorsing this personally. I heard of a church in Akron that the church was giving out the issue one vote yes yard sign. I'm Catholic, and I've heard of a lot of priests who have been preaching from the pulpit. I've heard one myself personally, and heard of other people who were at church who heard their priest talking about both issue one and how it ties into the November election. So there are priests and pastors who are waking up. However, that's not all of them, but ccv.org/pledge has plenty of stuff that you can give to your pastors to encourage them on what they are able to do. It's PDFs. There's also a devotional that can be ordered as well. There's tons of resources there between what's on the ballot, why is it important, and how it ties into the November election.
Also, well, let me tell you about another church there, Sarah. It's out here in Geauga County called Doers of the Word. And we've been, that's why I told you we need signs. We've been passing out signs. We're putting them up all over. And also the ones, the magnetic signs that go on the sides of the car doors.
You have
and also, we've had men who are going out And they're going into the shopping centers with that literature, and they're meeting people and handing out, explaining to them just how important it is to vote yes on issue one.
Oh, praise God. I'm so happy to hear that. See, that is beautiful, and it's people like you and other pastors who are doing that are really going to help make us good. We can win this as long as everyone who believes in life and liberty and protecting our founding document is out there and votes. We cannot skip a vote. Every single vote matters. Every single one. So like I said before, this is going to be grassroots. Walk outside, knock on your neighbor's doors, maybe bake them some cookies, saying, hey, how's it going, for all that kind of stuff. And then mention issue one. Just mention it. Talk about it. That's fine. Send them the link to VoteYesOhio.com. It has all the information. Also, one argument that's been made so far is about the majority. So issue one would require a 60% supermajority after it gets support from all 88 counties. It will require 5% of the voter turnout number from the last governor election worth of signatures from every single one of the 88 counties to even get on the ballot. That means that every single county in Ohio would have to support any issue going forward that they want to get on the ballot. And then once on the ballot, would require a 60% majority. Now, two groups that are opposed to this are the League of Women Voters, which requires 2/3 majority to amend their own bylaws, and the Democratic Party, which also requires a majority to amend their own constitution. So the two groups who are against this are being hypocrites. So you can go to their websites, leaguewomenvoters.org, I believe, or you can just Google it and take a screenshot and show it to people on Facebook or on Twitter or Instagram. Also, using social media, emailing, every means you have of communicating this issue, we must use it. Yard signs are slim right now, but we have social media, we have email, we have letters to the editor. Those are all things we can use. We can send postcards, write letters. We have to use literally every single means of communication possible to get the point across. We cannot.
Well, Sarah, the League of Some Women Voters is simply a branch of the Democratic Party. That's all they've always been that way.
They are definitely supportive of Democratic values, 100%.
Wait a minute. Democrats have no values. If they had values, they wouldn't be a Democrat. Okay. Anti-values. Unvalued.
Yep.
I don't know.
Anti-values.
Devalued. Okay.
Democratic ideas, yes.
Yes, there you go. Absolutely right. Well, boy, I'm going to tell you, I'm glad we've got you on our side. You sound zealous for the cause. And, we got to get it done.
I'm proud of you guys also.
All right, but you better tell Joe maybe he shouldn't go to his neighbor's house with a box of cookies, because if you knew Joe, they might have him arrested. He don't look like the cookie peddler. There you go.
How about, you know what? I can think of other things to bring to your neighbor's house where they might be more inviting you to talk to them, but I'm not sure if I should mention on Christian radio or not.
All righty.
Bring him a card, or like, you know, just nice, you know, just a nice card, maybe saying, hey, well, hey, good to see you. Yeah. But, yeah, vote yes between tomorrow and August 8th. That's the main most important thing.
We got to get it done. We've got to get it done. And I'm playing a clip. In fact, I got to get that clip. Wow. I forgot to play that tonight. We have Jan Porter has sent me a clip we've been playing on here. And, boy, Derek, I forgot to tell you about that. We got to find that clip and get it played again. But Jan does a 30-second spot on August 8th, issue one, which is very, very good. All righty. Well, young lady, it's been good having you. You're welcome to stay with us, but I know you probably want to get your beauty sleep. And it works for you.
Yep, first thing in the morning, go vote. So, yes.
All righty. Well, you can go get your beauty sleep. And
okay.
Like I said, it's been working for you.
And, all right, you take care, Pastor.
God bless you. We love you. Thank you.
Bye.
All right, there you go. You know, I wanted to go back to this here. And, Derek, if you could find that clip by Jack Porter. Okay.
No, okay.
We need to. Can you play it now?
I sure can.
Do it now. Yep.
Protect Ohio's babies and our Constitution by voting yes on August 8th. I'm Janet Porter, and I work to pass Ohio's ban on partial birth abortion, parental consent, and our heartbeat law to keep hearts beating. But if we don't vote yes on August 8th, we could lose them all. That's because of a deadly effort to inject abortion till birth in our state constitution. The threat is real. The polls are open. Your yes vote is urgent. Protect life. Vote yes on issue 1 by August 8th.
All right, very good. Let's do that again at the bottom of the hour. We've got to get that done.
We got it loaded.
That'll be playing. It'll be replayed here in Ohio several times, and we've got to get that done. We got to win this one. We really got to win this one. Anyhow, I want to go back to that article, Joe. Whistleblower charges U.S. now a middleman in child trafficking. The United States government, and this is an article by Bob Unruh out of the World News Daily. The United States government, under the leadership of Joe Biden, has become de facto middlemen in a massive child trafficking scheme, according to damning new report compiled by journalist and Gatestone Institute senior fellow Uze Boulay. Well, you know, here, this is that movie that they just, The Sound of Freedom, that they've been holding on to that, Joe, for 3 years. They had that finished, but Disney and other, you know, Disney's pedophile land. Disneyland is pedophile land nowadays. And others have tried to keep it off. They did not want that film to come out. And we've been telling you the reason why. Now, when they first started making that film, do you remember, we played clips back at that time. And we had Mel Gibson. We had him coming forth and playing, talking about this, and that was over 3 years ago. That was about 4 years ago, and we've been telling people ever since Biden got into office that his job, I mean, his charge given to him by the Chinese Communist Party was to keep that border open, keep the pedophile supply of children for the pedophiles, to keep thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of Chinese nationals coming into this country, keep a huge flow of the drugs coming into this country, killing people. That was his job. And you got to say one thing. He's done what the Chinese Communist Party promised their people he would do. Biden has done. So,
isn't that why we call him China Joe?
Yeah.
You know, he's bought and paid for, but he might as well live up to his name, China Joe, and he does.
Trump kept his promises, and China Joe kept China's promises, didn't he?
Sounds like it, yeah.
Yep. Now, another one that we, Biden lets the American military info slip during live interview, sparking backlash by Matteo Sina. From Fox News. This is an article from Fox News. And it's not the way it seems, Joe. And, you know, I know it sounds like that. He did that. I mean, yeah, he let it slip, but it was done intentional. There's more to it than this, and we're coming up to a break. When we come back to the break, we'll talk about what they have been done in the past and something that Bill Gates uses. In other words, it's got the point of, if you announce what horrible, terrible thing that you're going to do to the people, if you announce it, and they get used to hearing the announcements, then they learn quickly to hardly resist it, is what's happened. It's been happening that way. Okay, we're coming to a break. We'll be back right after this with more. Don't go away. Got a lot more to come.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like,
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
Long time no see.
No can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.